Newark officials recently announced the city has crossed the 10,000 lead service line replacement program benchmark, despite dealing with the coronavirus pandemic. Mayor Raz Baraka says the city has continued its aggressive work to replace more than 18,000 lead lines without interruption, replacing on average up to 100 per day. The mayor stressed in the midst of what's going on, providing residents with access to clean water remains a high priority. One of the most recent jobs completed was on the 100th block of Magazine Street. The assistant director of Newark's Water and Sewer Department says the warm weather and systematic approach have the city on pace to replace all 18,720 lines well before the original estimated time of 24 to 30 months at no cost to residents. There are watchdog groups, though, that are working to make sure Newark gets the water quality it needs. WBGO's Stephanie Avila reports.
The story of water in Newark continues to evolve. Given the current focus on public health, clean water has become all the more invaluable.
You don't know, like this bottle of water, and we know the phrase, water is life. It could really save someone's life. It could really make the difference in someone's day.
That was Anthony Diaz, one of the co-founders of the Newark Water Coalition.
The Newark Water Coalition is an advocacy group that deals with predominantly the lead crisis in Newark. Our lead levels are 33 parts per billion, which is twice the federal standard. And so we go out and we advocate on behalf of the citizens and with the citizens and communities. And we also do presentations and water distributions. And now with evictions and rent strikes and things like that, we're starting to get involved in that work as well.
And when Anthony gets behind a movement, he goes all in.
That's real. COVID or not, nobody should be going through, nobody should have feel the stress of losing their home. The world is on fire and people are still trying to collect rent. Cops are setting up border patrols, asking about papers. Let me see the receipts of your groceries. Like, that's not America. Or maybe it is. Maybe it's always America taking off that Scooby-Doo mask and it's still the criminal, you know? I don't know.
Although the group is involved in many projects, they are perhaps best known for running a robust water distribution operation. At its busiest, the water distributions were a weekly occurrence at two locations, with a third one about to open, and members of the coalition could be seen unpacking truckloads of water. Now, that has ceased entirely.
These people still need water. So it was like, we have to do these deliveries. You know, I call and text them, hey, the water's on your porch, but no contact with the person. And like at the end of the day, people can say what they want to say about the Newark Water Coalition and the members of the group, but all we care about is getting resources into the hands of the people.
Water distribution is the initiative that faces the most challenges when it comes to logistics. But on the education front, the group has found public webinars to be a good way to maintain their stride.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to our latest Next City webinar. I'm Kelly Regan, editorial director for Next City, and I'll be your host today.
Our guest. This public webinar was hosted by Next City, an organization dedicated to inspiring social, economic, and environmental change through journalism and events around the world. Saber B, the other co-founder of the Newark Water Coalition, was also on the webinar.
We want to hold City Hall accountable, and we want lead poisoning tests for everyone, even the people that it's maintained are not affected.
Although the lockdown is changing the way that activism can be carried out, Saber and Anthony point out that the urgency has only increased.
Everyone knows how it is to go to a grocery store. You have to wear your mask. You have to wear your gloves. You have to have, stand 6 feet away. But then when you get inside, you know, after that hour and a half wait of getting inside, you get to the water aisle and it's empty. What do you do? It's very, very scary.
So what are some solutions to the many challenges that face environmental activists in this moment? Anthony and Saber have many suggestions, but according to them, it begins on an individual level.
You need to be able to advocate for yourself. You need to be able to strengthen up whatever it is that's going on or have the knowledge base to fight.
Now that you see some of the cracks and the holes in the institutions that are supposed to be encouraging and supporting and protecting you, now that you see that there aren't exactly experts in the place where they need to be experts, now that you see that Superman is not coming to save you, I need you to show up. I need you to be loud. We don't have the privilege of being quiet anymore.
The next step is building community.
One of the things I often say is people power. People power is the only thing that can make change really happen, right? People power is the only thing that can really influence policy, influence just a sense of community.
And although local community is necessary to solve a local problem, community building does not need to be limited to a local level.
And this is, again, cities like Newark, cities like Portland, cities like Chicago, cities like Baltimore also have districts where the schools are having elevated levels of lead. So it is a national problem. And it's obvious that we're in a system that's concerned with profits over people. And that is really, really the bottom line of this Newark crisis and any other water crisis. It usually happens in places where people are economically disadvantaged and Black and brown.
It's not just us fighting this. It's not just the Newark Water Coalition in Newark, New Jersey. It's everyone. And you don't have to do it alone. I was fortunate enough to go to Detroit and be a part of a global summit and just, you know, meeting a delegation from Africa and them connecting with me and them saying, hey, how can we support you? Like, that's beautiful.
And consistency goes a long way in cementing an activist's relationship to their community.
One of the proudest people that I'm fortunate enough to know is a 14-year-old freshman who said, hey, Anthony, you've been showing up for my community, so it's time that I show up. But that wouldn't have happened with the consistency.
Finally, the co-founders of the coalition recommend encouraging community members to contribute in ways that play to their strengths. Saber used the example of the group's current outreach campaign as an illustration.
Definitely do not take your sign-in sheets for granted. We've had all different types of events to bring in different groups of people who have different interests, because that's important in organizing. Everyone's not going to be politically charged. So of all the sign-in sheets that we have, and we've got stacks of them, now is the time where you have elder people in your organization, and no shade. We love them. But they don't mind being on the phone all day long for hours. You scan over those sheets, you send it to those elder people in your organization, and you let them be that auntie or that uncle on the phone. Hey, you know, we're still doing this. What do you need, baby? So that's a big part of it, letting people play to their strengths.
And always remain fixed on your ultimate goals.
You know, yes, they secured the loan. Yes, they're replacing lead service lines. But I want data. Data is king. So right. Until I am confident to say that there are no one in Newark has an exceedance in their homes, then the work of the Newark Water Coalition will not stop.
You can find out more about the Newark Water Coalition at newarkwatercoalition.com or on any social media platform. For the WBGO Journal, I'm Stephanie Avila in Newark.
The story was produced in collaboration with Civic Story and the New Jersey Sustainability Reporting Project.